Carol's taking us to a rural property half an hour's drive from Te Awamutu in Waikato.
So again, nice and steady with that sledgehammer. It's not about the power, it's about the accuracy. Just, yep, nice and
flat.
Nice and flat, and bring that up to the same height so you get a nice rhythm.
How long are you leaving that in there for, Rob?
Oh, only until it gets hot, which is not long.
Yeah, that's only been in there less than a minute, probably.
Yes. Again,
now it's hot. Red hot.
Very hot fire. Well, sorry, almost it's orange at the moment. That's the one. Now hit on the high spot as we go down.
Rob Pinkney is a blacksmith.
So it's all about the rhythm.
He's on a mission to save his traditional and dying trade.
Listen to that. You can dance to it. So you notice how I'm using my tool to keep timing with you.
Yep.
So you're, and I can move the stock between your hits.
Yep. You'll lead the rhythm and I just continue.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll keep the beat and you lead the rhythm.
Exactly.
Today he's holding a hands-on class for half a dozen or so people who are keen to learn more.
They say, there's a saying that there's no better silent communication between a good horse and a good rider. But I reckon there's also, the same applies to a good blacksmith and a good striker. That you can work all day and not say a word, especially if you don't like him.
I won't read too much.
Okay, that's beautiful. The whole concept of what they're coming here for is to see what a proper working, traditional working blacksmith shop looks like and feels like.
Are there many in New Zealand?
No, we're probably the only one that does traditional blacksmithing like this. When I say traditional blacksmithing, we obviously make a lot of knives, but we also do a lot of traditional fire-welded axes, fire-welded tools, which are all very, you know, old techniques done in coal fires. So we're probably sort of the last stand of original blacksmithing here.
And who are you expecting today?
Oh, I'm not quite sure who's coming today. It's we'll have a full class, full day from 9 o'clock. If we get them kitted up with some aprons and some eyewear and safety wear, and then we're into it. We light up, get them on the coal fire on a sledgehammer, and they get into it. We've got Vojta from the Czech who works for us now, and the two of us will guide them through it through the morning.
Hey guys.
Good
day.
Hi.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
This is
my
son, Jake.
Hey, Jake.
This is called spring steel, and this is our kind of stock. We call them stock.
And it's going to turn into a knife by the end of the day.
It's going to turn into beautiful knives. That's right.
Now, what brought you here?
Me and my wife, we were working back in Czech, and we were very unhappy with our jobs. So we decided we want to have adventure before we start a family. So we came in here, and yeah, one thing led to another, and here I am.
What were you doing at home?
I was working in a big worldwide company as a logistics manager. Yeah, and that was not it. I was working in the office my whole life. I never knew what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I was kind of looking for everything, looking for my true call. Yeah, and 4 months into New Zealand, blacksmithing just popped into my head like that. So I was, yeah, why not? Why not to try? So I tried to look around, and I found Rob, and I was bothering him long enough, and he said, okay, come on, we can make something out. First, it was just, come on, we have a pretty busy week, so he can help us out, and 9 months later, I'm still here.
Wow.
Living the dream. I really say living the dream because it is awesome.
You knew nothing about blacksmithing.
I wouldn't say nothing. I had this one-day course back in Czech as well, but it didn't went as planned because the only thing I had was 3 enormous blisters on my hand. And in the end, I left the knife too long in the forge and it burned in half. And I thought, okay, blacksmithing is not for me, but I think it is.
What do you like about it?
What do I like about it? I mean, what's there not to like? I mean, you make beautiful creation out of very basic piece of steel. And that's incredible. And after working my whole life in the office, 8-9 hours behind the computer and literally not be able to see, you know, physical outcome of your work. And after same amount of time, 9 hours, 8 hours in forge, you can make beautiful knives and you can really see and feel and do something with the product that you made. It's, for me, it's incredible. I was thinking about you really transforming reality. That's incredible. That's incredible.
You're waiting for a few more?
I'm just checking on them.
Are they coming?
They're all booked and they've paid, so yeah.
So we do about 3 or 4 days a week.
Really? With people coming to learn the trade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. One day we decided we'd like to spend more time in the forge and that we wanted sort of to save the craft of blacksmithing. And so we just decided to open it up for the public, and then we started with a class every now and then, and then we soon realized that there's an actual real interest for it. So it's our main business now.
What were you doing before?
So before we were running a farrier company, so that was mostly Rob running that. That's where I could only help out with the admin side of things. Yeah, and then we've slowly just transitioned into this. Yeah.
Where do people come from? Well, here are some people pulling up now.
So most people come from the big cities around, so from Auckland, Hamilton, Tauranga. But we've got people coming from all over New Zealand, really. People making special trips from the South Island. Morning, guys.
Hi there.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Did you find us a ride?
Yes.
We did.
She navigated and I drove. And
he's like,
yeah.
Really? You go here?
Oh,
I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah. You sure about that? Up that hill? Yeah. Hey, I'm Aria.
Ian.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Heather. Nice to meet you.
Hi, guys.
How did you become a blacksmith?
I did an apprenticeship as a farrier and general blacksmith back about 30-odd years ago in Matamata for a guy called Malcolm Telfer. We made everything, all our horseshoes, all our tools to make the horseshoes, and we also did some general blacksmithing as well, mainly re-tipping crowbars and things like that for the council.
And now what would they do? Go and just buy a new one with
that? Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit like Bunnings, I suppose. You break a handle and an axe and you go and buy a new one for an extra $5. You can buy the whole thing. And when you see what's involved in making an axe traditionally, these axes that we make, you hand down through generations.
You've done a lot of work with horses, though, as well, haven't you?
Yes, well, farrying has been a very strong part of my life because it's been the bread and butter for my blacksmithing.
So you must have seen forge after forge close, have you?
Yes, yes. Since the railway workshops closed, which we had some very skilled men here back in the day, that was probably before my time, really. There was a forge just about in every village. I mean, every town, like where I grew up, and Kaitaia had a forge, and Kaikohe had a forge. And these were general smiths, These guys could shoe horses. They could also, they fixed everything. Man, they did anchors, they did chain, they did everything. And even in my lifetime, I've seen all those forges close down. So, it died out fast. Yeah. So what we do is we're saving all these old traditional techniques on how to, the firewalded axe or the folded axe, the adzes, all the tools that these techniques are pretty well lost, and we're working hard to keep these tools still being made.
Yeah. Got any thoughts on what you want to make today?
Oh, the hair clip's cool.
It is.
Oh, I might make that. You might make that.
You've got the hair for it.
Your hair.
Hey, yeah. That's a herb cutter, and you can use it as a pizza cutter as well. Yeah.
I might make that. Yes. Yeah, that's really cool. So, like fresh herbs or dried herbs. Oh, yeah. I like to cook a lot, so I think that'd be
nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, cool.
So we're just raking up a bit of coal into the fire, and what we do, we've got some nice Westport coal here from the Stockton mine. This is some of the best coking coal in the world, actually. Because we're doing such technical fire welds, we need a very hot, clean heat, and this is the stuff that gets us there. One shovel full of this fuel will give us enough energy that'll outdo just about anything else I know. It's very good fuel, very efficient. And we're very, very lucky to have it here in New Zealand. So you can see that fire just naturally drawing. So there's no fumes off that fire at all in this workshop. So again, bring coal up onto the fire, which cokes up. And then when it's in its coking form, that's when we use it. So again, it's no different to burning wood into charcoal. Once you've got the charcoal, you can cook on it. And that's what we forge in, and that's why we can get with the oxygen in that we can get these incredibly good heads in it.
It's very shiny.
Well, actually, funny enough, we nickname it shiny coal. That's one way we can tell the quality of it. Yeah, so it's very black, very shiny, and we know that it's good stuff.
What's Rob like at his job? I would say incredible, to be honest. Just the first look into the workshop, I first came here, it was so magical, because to build a workshop like this, you have to be blacksmith, not as an occupation, but inside, in your heart. When Rob's work, when he's at the anvil and at the forge and having, you know, swinging his hammer, you can see that's there. That's really magic happening. I also always tell them that he makes it look so easy, but when you try it, it's very hard to do.
So what I'm going to do is send you over there with Voiter, and you're going to start forming this into a nice handle. So go and look at one of the samples of, and you just want a nice handle grip going on here, and you'll forge this out and down. So I'm just measuring up this little piece of steel to make this tomahawk. So basically these are what we call folded axes. This technique dates right back to the Vikings. It's one of the earliest ways of making an axe. Very cool way of making an axe. Big firewall in it. And it's formed up basically in a mirror image and then folded over and firewalled together. So pretty cool. So again, very, very important technique for early pioneer blacksmiths, because they could come out to places like New Zealand or Australia or wherever, and they could make axes out of strap iron, which was a lot easier to get than a block of iron, you know. And as long as you could fire weld well, you're in the money. You could make axes wherever you were.
And then you could clear the land and feed your family.
Yeah, and you could sell them. I mean, axes in these days were, back in those days, was worth a lot of money. They were a very important trade item. There's been a lot of land bought with axes. Yeah.
How's that knife looking?
Oh, the knife's looking amazing. It's strange. You go from this block of steel and you just shape it into this knife-looking thing. It's an experience.
And you're going to use it, you said, to prepare the meat for your barbecue?
Yeah, we've got an offset smoker at home, so when you have large pieces of meat, there's usually a fat cap on top, so it's just to get in there and help get that fat cap off.
And so now, what, that just needs sharpening, does it?
Yeah, pretty well. We love doing these. Classic butcher knife with a beautiful, sweet back bend in them. Very handy, very traditional, very New Zealand classic. If anyone's grown up on the countryside, been around, especially dry stock farmers, they always had one of these on their hips. They're just a good home killing knife, butchering knife. And yeah, if you've ever been to a marae, to the wharekai, all the men out the back, they've all got these butcher knives. they're really cool. They're a very handy knife. I've used one all my life as well.
How's it going?
Yes, awesome. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Loving it, eh?
Is it starting to look like a knife?
It definitely is. Yeah, the handle's starting to take shape, and yeah, no, it's awesome. I had a whole lot of respect for them, but now I've got a whole lot more as well. It's amazing what they do. My son's said he's got a mean sweat up, and yeah, I'm the same as well. I think my son's going to have sore arms tomorrow as well. I'll probably have sore arms as well, I think. Yeah.
What's your hope here? Do you want somebody younger than you to come through and think,
exactly,
this is what I'd love to do?
Yeah, some guys like Voiter, yeah. I want to teach these techniques, or let people open their eyes to it before it's lost. You know, in a very short time, since, you know, say the grandfather of my trade, John Carter, who came over, you know, who's the English smith that had started my family of smiths off, in between only a couple of generations, we've lost most of the knowledge, you know, a lot of the knowledge he would have had. You know, when men did their apprenticeships as blacksmiths back in the day in those big forges in London and places like that, you know, they had amazing amounts of resourcefulness and experience and techniques that they had up their sleeve. You know, that basically their family had to pay a bond, and if they went anywhere in the world and couldn't do a job that they were asked to, the firm gave the money back to the family. That's how serious it was and how knowledgeable these guys were. But in a very short time, you know, no one uses coal fires anymore. We're losing it very fast. That's why the folded axe, that's one of those techniques that is imperative to save while we can. So, yeah, it's basically, that's what I want people to learn it, go home and practice it, throw their life at it. Mm. Mm. But it's bigger than us. That's the thing. The craft is, it's bigger. It's about culture. It's about history. You know, this is just a small part of what we need to save as New Zealanders. Yeah, I wouldn't want to let it slip through my fingers on my shift, that's for sure.
Rob Pinkney from Kowhai Forge. You also heard from his wife, Aria, and from Voita Kuchera. Rob worked as a farrier for 14 years in Japan and was the first foreign farrier to have his own company there. We've popped some pictures from the day on our webpage.